And this is the Podcast Derbia Blacklist Podcast for this week's episode, the Hawaladar, number 162. I rehearsed that about 100 times before we started. I knew I was still going to get it wrong. So. Hawaladar. Okay. So we get the, I don't want to say fall finale because we got another episode in 2 weeks. So, but we get the break for Thanksgiving next week. And I liked this episode. How'd you feel about it?
I enjoyed the episode too. I was really confused. It was all over the freaking place.
Oh yeah, I know.
It was like, who is the blacklister this week? Who is it? Who's the blacklister?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
who is this guy? Who's Shang? Wait, part what? Who?
Yeah, we get this whole shoe syndicate and Alfred Yang and Eli Radicus, and we talk about the O'Reilly Relocation Services, which is the name of the next episode.
O'Reilly. Yeah. I said O'Reilly.
Oh no, O'Reilly Relocation Services. We get this Babish Radna, who heads this Hawala system, this network that basically pays on IOUs, which is...
It is a...
I think I understood.
What's the word I'm looking for? A Western Union without regulation. It is an underground Western Union.
Oh, that's a good way to describe it. Okay.
Basically, there's a bunch of different places that have money and like, hey, we have it, you know, and they act as an escrow.
Got it. So they call another facility, say, hey, we got the money here. We need this money to be transported in your location. Yeah, they indicated they got like 34 offices or whatever, all based out of like these restaurants around the world.
In 18 countries. And
right. And carry out payments for, you know, illegal services. And since no money actually moves, I guess, but at the same time, money moves. I didn't understand that. I didn't get that part.
Well,
why the FBI couldn't do anything about it? Because transactions are still being made. Money's still being paid. Right?
But there's no electronic trail.
Correct.
They'll walk into a place, there's a ton of money. Now, where did this come from? We have a really, really good Indian restaurant.
Yeah, we got the best buffet in New York. So
yeah. Did you when he said that, did you think they were like, let's go in and have lunch?
Yeah, I was waiting for like them to stake it out that way.
Just kind of go in and like make a scene or something. Like
But yeah, we had a few things that we had kind of wondered and predicted happen in this episode as well. So we had the return of Glenn, who we just recently talked about, and has his interesting scenes, kind of uncomfortable scenes with
it
Red.
Was, just to talk about Glenn for a second, one of the most scary Red I think we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, and very, you know, most scary, most frustrated. And you know, Glenn was that chastised child there where he wouldn't even make eye contact, you know, the...
Right, where Red's like leaning in to make that eye contact, and he's trying not to, and he's getting it. Yeah, you see that technique with teachers and parents and therapists to get eye contact with somebody, saying you.
I do it with my dog when they're misbehaving.
Yeah, you do it with your
animal, a dog, but you know, it's a when they kind of do that. I know I did something wrong, you know, and their head goes down, and that was kind of what. And I'm not calling an animal, it's not my point, but it's
no, I know what you mean. Yeah, just look at me, I'm talking to you. You need to understand, look in my eyes and see how serious I am about what I'm talking about here.
It is the dominant alpha in the room,
right?
That was uncomfortable, and it was well executed.
And we get kind of an explanation too.
We love Spader.
Yeah, we love James Spader and everything he does, but it was kind of gives an explanation as to Red's why he puts up with Glenn. You know, we kind of get this explanation a little bit. I mean, we could always make assumptions. What Red said is what we believe, but you know, it was actually said this point between characters that, you know, I put up with you and your little eccentricities and all that, and just the nonsense that comes out of you because you're good at what you do. And if you're telling me you can't do this, then I'll have to find somebody else. And you know what that means for you. So yeah. It was, you know, a serious threat. And, you know, Glenn, who was trying to just be Glenn, you know, and it was hard for him to not be Glenn, you know, had to really just,
it's all hard for all of us to not be us.
Yeah. And he had to straighten up, do the job for Red. And Red actually, you know, comes back and apologizes to him in a way. And,
which is very Red-like.
Yes. Especially when he knows he likes it. And he did it before he even got the information.
Yes.
That's the thing. So Red knew Glenn's valuable. You know, Glenn, I need Glenn, you know, and I was a little hard on him, but hopefully Glenn understands I need this information, and hopefully what I said worked and we can move on being buddies. And they were, and they have a nice little moment at the end about always betting on Red. So.
I love the line. I was not expecting it, and it was awesome. I always bet on Red. I was like, oh, came out of nowhere. Absolutely beautiful.
Although I was worried because during that little exchange, it looked like Red went to reach for something. And I had this little moment, like right at the end when Glenn...
I'm tired of you, Blam.
Yeah, I thought that was something like that was about to happen, which...
We've seen...
Which has happened, but would have thrown things really way off because this isn't... You know, Glenn knows nothing
Glenn
about
this.
Glenn
didn't betray him. He just wasn't doing his job.
Yeah, he was just...
The other times Red's done that, it's been a betrayal.
Right. He was just being a smart ass, and Red straightened him out, and he ended up getting his information, and he's good, so...
Yeah.
But he was eating his meatball sub again. He loves his meatball subs.
Man, I want a meatball sub now so bad. I really do.
So we're going to talk all over this episode like we usually do.
Because that's what the episode did to us. The episode was all over the place.
So let's knock out the stuff that we had talked about a couple weeks ago. How is Liz going to get information from Agnes? How is this going to happen? And we kind of said that it would be one of those moments. Agnes playing with dolls in a weird way with the dead body. But it was happened to be a picture, which makes perfect sense. Kids draw pictures about what they see. And you as a parent... When you see something like that, are concerned, you know, why is she drawing pictures of a dead body? And, you know, confronts Katerina about it, wondering, you know, what happened at the park. And Katerina kind of, it was a heated exchange in a way. I mean, it wasn't like they were yelling at each other, but, you know, Liz was frustrated because it's her child and wants to know what her child saw, and told her that she saw something at the park that day. And Katerina was there at the park with her and said nothing about it and is kind of just blowing it off, saying this is just kid being kid, overactive imagination, and then tried to blame Liz's job on it. So, and Liz,
it was very manipulative, and you know, this is not a fairy tale, not being defensive, but I think the one thing that we as the viewers forget about every once in a while, and I don't know if this is good writing or happenstance on the writing, was Liz is a professional profiler.
Thank you. I was just gonna say that she is a psychologist. So and we haven't used that enough in this series. That was the whole point of her role, is that she is this criminal profiler. And this is good writing or just lucky writing that she was kind of profiling this at the moment. She's now doesn't trust Katerina because she
knows something's
up. She was awfully defensive about this. She's kind of just trying to dismiss it, but she was dismissing it in a way where she was deflecting. And as opposed to just saying, I have no idea where she got that information. I mean, there was no buy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, would have been like, would have been a more appropriate. But
coming up with an explanation and saying, you know, I know you're FBI. I know you have a gun. Maybe your daughter's scared of your job. And trying to place blame on this was a foolish move. Yeah, she was trying to be manipulative. But at the same time, Liz, it's giving Liz ammo for, you know, knowing, okay, something's up here. I'm gonna watch this a little closer. And she goes to the park at the end, and she ends up by happenstance into the restroom and sees the cracked mirror with blood and hair. I'm wondering if the next episode is gonna have her having gone back and gathered that, you know, maybe, because we don't see what she does next other than leaving the room. But if she's concerned about something going on, wouldn't she maybe grab a sample? They got a working lab. They can figure it out.
Provided in order to get DNA from hair, you need like a hair follicle.
Right, but you had a clump of hair with blood.
In that
mirror. So I'm going to hope Liz just didn't walk away and say, all right, I'll just keep my eyes open in the future. Rather, inquire about what's going on with this mirror in this bathroom in this public park. that looks like somebody smashed their head into it, especially given my daughter is telling me a story and the person who was the caregiver of my daughter at the time is being defensive about it.
So, you know, they brought up, hey, you know, you had bodyguards outside, blah, blah, this. Wouldn't those bodyguards be following her to the park?
I would think so. I mean, that's what we talked about. We've talked about that, though. Why isn't Red watching, have somebody on his crew, like we've said before, across the street watching this constantly and knowing what's going on? I mean, it's actually
done it before.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous at this point in the show that Red is not doing that, especially given that Agnes is now back. She's not in a safe custody with Grandma, and she's not, you know, and that she's and that Red didn't have an opportunity to vet this caregiver. You know, you would think Red would have somehow snuck on in. Liz would have mentioned, "Oh, I got this nice old lady across the street." I mean, she's had to have told him this.
Knock, knock. I just want to say hello and thank you for taking care of my granddaughter. Right. Here's an apple tartare.
Yeah,
you know,
something.
Not saying a word, just being charming Red.
Yeah, how that hasn't happened is, and weeks have passed. I mean, this is Blacklist time. You know, 10 years could have passed for all we know. But
Agnes is graduating high school next week. Let's right. go. You
know? But that Red hasn't done anything to check this woman out.
Yeah,
you know, especially this woman is having alone time in the park with Agnes. Red's ultra protective still. Yeah, why he doesn't have somebody?
And it's one of those, like, even if Liz had said, "Oh, it's just the little old lady next door," you know, I'm sure Red's got some really crazy little old lady stories to tell somewhere in that, you right. know, grimoire of stories that he has. Mm-hmm. I knew a little old lady that would stab you 9 ways because you looked at her with a cow's eye wrong on a Tuesday. You know, that's a Red story.
Yeah, that's a good Red story. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's odd. This season, we've liked a lot of the writing, but there's been some...
There's some missing...
Some things that just don't feel consistent with the way the whole show has gone to this point. Yeah.
If they can ramp up on the profiler thing again, I think that would be good. Especially now,
right.
Timing-wise, I think it would be a very positive. Because I think we actually saw it last week, and I had written this down in my notes from last week, mm-hmm. which was the bizarre episode on the politics that we're not going to get into. But when they were interviewing the governor, there was a point where Liz kind of went, "Yeah, I don't believe you anymore." In that conversation, I wanted to bring it up, and I just forgot about it in my notes. You know, but what was it that did it? And it's like, she's a profiler; she's actually used to watching this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's something we've
maybe they're. You know,
it's something we've criticized the show from really going back to the beginning that, well, she seems to be super agents, but really she's just a psychology nerd, you know, who's, you know, has gun training. But they use her.
She's a field agent.
Yeah, but they use her as equivalent, like a wrestler type agent, as opposed to somebody who also has this other skill set.
Yeah, you know, that's supposed to be, her role is supposed to be the profiler.
Right, and they don't use her like that enough to remind us like that. Like you said, I mean, we could almost forget that going back to the beginning was her role.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, I would like to see that Liz does something with that. Because, I mean, you got hair and blood sample. That something gets done. She's going to investigate this thing, maybe behind the scene, maybe drag in arm or something. Hey, can you just check this out for me? I'm not sure what it is, but something's just not gelling for me. Can you check this out for me? And we'll, you know, was there any random calls about a body found or something like that? Yeah, that's the thing. I'm surprised there wasn't even that conversation.
Any police reports on violence in Rock Creek Park, right?
Yeah, Rock Creek Park on that date. A body found recently, shortly thereafter. Something.
Did you think she was going to find like a hand sticking out of the mud when she walked up to the riverbank?
Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah, you know, they really were pretty. Pretty interested in showing us her walk up to the riverbank and looking down and would we see some clue there, but no, it's just so that she walked in the mud to give her the excuse to go to the restroom.
So completely off topic, but fun fact, Linda Carter, who played Wonder Woman,
yep,
lives in Bethesda, Maryland.
Okay.
And this is probably 10 or 12 years ago. She's out on the Potomac, and she has like riverfront property and whatnot out on the Potomac. And actually, Linda Carmer, Wonder Woman, actually found a body in the Potomac. You can look it up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just kind of one of those strange
things
that Wonder Woman actually found a body and was involved in, you know, kind of that investigation with.
Nice.
All right. That stuff. Just made me think of that. This is what we do, right? We're all about media.
We're and we're going to be all over the place too, as we are. So, okay, we're next.
Megan Boone might be a good Wonder Woman, actually.
She's got
the blue eyes, and you know. All right, next.
Yeah, next. Okay. Okay. So now we have a lot of the Ilya Katerina stuff, and Katerina. Like, you didn't like any of it?
Inconsistent.
Okay.
Because it was very, he's not that kind of friend, not anymore. But we completely had the impression that she was kind of like vaguely, barely knew who he was.
Right.
We talked about that, you know, like, oh, who's that? Oh, it's just some guy that they had. She would have known, oh, this is Ilya, you know, when, you know, several episodes ago when she found that photo of him.
Right. And she was really broken up about him trying to kill himself, hang himself
in this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. She was really broken up about that, though. They do have a little bit of a conversation back and forth about Dominic. She refers to him as Dominic. We got an email from a listener. We're gonna talk about that soon too, regarding that. But, talking about Dominic and, but she's really just, she wants to know why he betrayed her. You know, he makes mention to the Townsend directive, which has popped up a lot. I know you did a little look into that recently as well. Yeah. A little bit more, some digging into that, so that, but it's active and it's coming for her, and she just wants to know why. But you know, Ilya's not giving up any information. You know, she wants to know why he's willing to die to protect him. She didn't say the name. Just why are you willing to die to protect him?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the episode kind of ends, you know, through that with, I thought we were going to get, what's his name? Red's,
I did too. I was wondering if he was going to come in with the breathing apparatus.
Waiting on that, but no, we get some other guy comes in. He's going to be
the guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Is that who this guy is?
Sure, look like the guy, the Nazi from Raiders of the Lost Ark, the guy that had his hand burned with the seal.
Oh yeah, with the hat
and the glasses.
He looked, yeah, I'll give you that. He does some memory digging, which.
Have we seen him? Was that the memory guy from season 2?
Well, that's what I was wondering. I don't remember him, but we've had digging into reconstructing memory discussion through in this show. Liz's memory was reworked, and so that she couldn't remember certain things. You know, this guy is an old friend. It wouldn't be unusual that he would have connections to Katerina or Red. Sounds like he's one of these guys for hire, that this is his skill and his skill, though we do hear some little like from the other room, conversation about, and I've never caught in the guy's name. Who's the guy with Katerina?
I don't know that I've ever said his name.
Yeah. I've never actually caught
henchman number one.
Yeah. But we hear him through the floor because we see a scene of Ilya trying to break out. But we hear through the floor, this guy talking to Katerina saying that, I don't know why you're bringing him into it. You know, people end up being zombies when he's done with them. So whatever he does, could, you know, to extract memories could be dangerous to the subject. But she doesn't care.
So henchman number one has some bizarre empathy. Okay.
Yeah. And he's wondering why we're going, you know, he kept saying, wondering why are we going this route? What is it we're trying to do here? And we don't know what she's trying to do here, other than we hear things about the Townsend directive. She wants to know why everybody's after her, and why she's, you know, kill on sight.
It's not a kill on sight. It's a, they want something. The Townsend directive is more than just a kill on sight.
Okay.
That's kind of what I've gathered from one of the stuff that I was reading. And,
What do you got on that?
Well, I mean, it was, whatever it is, there's Townsend Directive is, hey, we don't know who Townsend is. So I don't know if it's a big The Who conspiracy or what.
Or a person, and, right.
Yeah. And The Who. Then, now he gets it.
No, I got you.
Now he gets it. All right. God, I lost my train of thought here. We don't know what it is. And there's a lot of speculation, right? But it's more than just a kill order. Because it's a bounty on top of it, but they're after something. Mm-hmm. And she believes there's a way to stop it, whatever it is. And because she asked, how do I stop it? And Red's like, I'm never going to tell you. So she has something, information or, I don't know, ability or knowledge.
We don't really know what she's done for this. I mean, we know little pieces of history with the manipulation of Reddington, you know, through the Red's court thing last year. You know, we hear the tape of her talking to Schiff, Alan Alda's character, and was that his name? It wasn't Schiff. I thought it was. No. That's the guy in the news. I know, and in the government,
the guy in the modern politics.
But I thought his name was something like that. I can't remember. But
how do you not know? That is like your favorite actor in the world. You can recite his entire filmography by heart.
Yet I might not actually know his character's name. I just love Alan Alda. If anything is proven in this show is that I cannot remember names. Like last week I was saying, like I said the complete wrong name of one of the characters in regards to doing the tests on the boys, and I know I was wrong.
We were in the wrong week. Yeah,
even when I said it. So I'm just bad at that. Like I can never remember Glenn's name until he's on screen and his name is said. Yeah. That's just me. So, but yeah, there's you're right. There's something she knows or she has that's valuable, and it's people have been wanting it for decades. And it's far more than what we know. It's far more than, you know, what Dominic told in his story. Although, again, that little conversation between Katerina and Ilya today gives some reason to believe that what Dominic told may have been what he believed, in a way.
Who believed? What Ilya believed?
What Dominic believed. Like, Dominic was telling a story that he was told.
No. I mean, Dominic knows it's fiction because they talked about it. Because Dominic said to Red, this is the fiction. This is the charade you created.
Right. Which, again, Ilya had part of, you know, because again, there's the little conversation about Dominic and not referring to Dominic as father. And that gets to an email. We don't need to read the email exactly unless you have it in front of you. But we had a listener saying that, and maybe you could just pull up who said it, but concerned about our constant emphasis. Go ahead and read it.
So this is from Brent in Chicago. Guys, love your show, but I have to call you out on one little detail. You keep taking the fact that maybe Katerina doesn't call Dom dad or father and mm-hmm. wave it around like it's absolute evidence that they're not father and daughter. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean jack shit. And he censored it. I'm uncensoring that.
That's okay.
haven't you ever known anyone who calls their parents by their first name? I know it happens. Didn't you ever watch Fringe? And in the show Fringe, the main character, Josh Jackson, I think.
I saw the first season. I don't remember Fringe very well.
He called his dad Walter. I thought about this and I talked to my bride on it and like, yes, he did. But the thing is, it was kind of a point that he did it. They like talked about like, you know, you're not really my dad or something like that. It was a thing. And it's bad television because television, when that happens and there is that type of dynamic where someone calls someone by the first name, it will be explained.
Correct. And I think that's what we're saying. It is not us saying that the fact that she's not calling him or referencing him as father or dad is proof. But what it's more of us looking at the information we've been given in this show from season one, and this show has been very careful to refer to what is the truth, who a person is. The last couple seasons have been very careful using the pronoun game and referring to people who they are. You know, Red saying, like, I'm the Raymond Reddington that I always wanted to be, or something, things yeah, like
I'm,
that.
I'm the man that I always have been, or, yeah, you know, it, yeah.
There's been very careful dialogue about people referring to others or themselves about that. So the fact that we know that Dominic is Katarina's father, and the fact that she doesn't reference it at all, and that the show has been very careful not to have someone call her out on that to date, is something to continue to just keep in the back of your mind there, that, okay, but she is still yet to say it. Much like, you know, Red has always said, I've never lied to you, Liz. And we so that means we got to look at every little word he has ever said to her and said, all this is true. You know, he was very vague. You know, Red's always been very vague about admitting he was Ilya when everybody was approaching him with it, Cooper calling him out on it, Liz calling him out on it. He's like, okay, I'll play along. But he didn't necessarily say, yeah.
Well, we know now that he's not.
Right. And we absolutely know he's not. But again, the show was always very careful about that. The show was very careful about Red answering the question if he's the father or not. Or who this man is, and so forth. So it's that's the evidence that I look at. Now, again, we have theories. We've been right. We've been wrong. And we're good on both counts. You know, I have no problem being wrong as long as it's just not something cheap. And, you know, if we're having, but I appreciate the email, and you're absolutely right, though. I mean, that is absolutely true.
It is a very, very valid point.
I mean, I've called my mother by her first name to make a point. But she's still my mother. This just feels like the way the conversations come is that she's not even referring to this man as a man that they've all been part of in a group and not her father.
Saying, hey, Dominic, as opposed to, you know, hey, you know, Dominic did this, or my father did this, even in the third person or as reference.
Right.
You know, because I can, you know, at some point I'm sure that in Fringe, he referred to his father as Walter, you know, face to face, but at some point he went somewhere. He said, oh yeah, my father is a good man, or somewhere he did that.
Right.
Because you had to know that it was the father. And this has been very particular, not saying you're wrong. Brent, I have to keep looking at the email to see the names, because we're terrible with names. I'm not saying you're wrong, but television is lazy. And it will be very, you know, specific on this American television, because if this were BBC or something like that, it'd be a whole different
one. The general viewer needs it clear to them. And if you're not clear to them, then what you're doing is
it's not clear.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're setting up so that you can do something else later. And that's kind of how we've analyzed things throughout this show, is that there's a reason why it took so long for Red to admit if he's the father. One, because it keeps us coming back every week to find out if he is. And then we still don't know.
We're still unsure anything
that's concrete along the way. As you said, there's problems with DNA, and there's lots of question marks. And this is one of those question marks that, so in order to analyze if she is who she is and that Dominic is her father, we got to look at all frame of reference to that point that's been given in the show. And as since this character's been introduced, she's been coldly referring to him as Dominic.
Yeah.
And not any
I don't think she's ever referred to him in any context as my father, or, you know, in any way, shape, or form.
Right. And we didn't even have to see, I mean, he gets shot in his house and she's there, and we didn't even have any scene where he starts yelling back at her, what the hell is wrong with you? You're my daughter. You know, we don't even have that.
Yeah.
So it's just
far more upset about some guy that she supposedly barely knew 30 years ago trying to hang himself in this episode.
Right.
Than over, about shooting her own father.
Over her father being shot and needing medical attention. So that's the evidence we look at. And we may very well be wrong, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And we still haven't really definitively either of us come out and said, yeah, like I said, I think we're both kind of on this 50-50 swing over who she really is as well.
I have an idea on that too, but let's get to this episode.
But we'll get there. So, all right, what else in this episode?
We're all over the place.
We appreciate the email. We do love the email.
No, we do. It was awesome. Because that's what we want. It brings up discussion. So why would Red get the FBI involved instead of just staging his own thing a la The Illusionist and getting his own people to act like FBI agents. It was a lot of, you know, maybe couldn't do it in time. I mean, but he's got lots of resources. We know this. I loved that whole thing, by the way.
I love the subterfuge and all that he does, everything that he does to get that thing staged. Why?
And the roller skater.
And that was his.
I thought it was his. I didn't think it was his.
I know. If you didn't pay attention to the scene where Red calls the money guys, she's in the room. The roller skater's in the room. But if you don't pay attention, you might miss that. Because if you're looking in the foreground, you don't see her in the background, and you might completely miss that Red stole the money and sold it back to him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
For 20%, the case could be made for 19%.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is Red. That was awesome, Red. The guy was thanking him.
Yeah,
for stealing his money. I mean, he didn't realize what was happening. It was
They completely spun it, and that was good. Yeah, why does he involve the FBI? I think it's just
bigger story. I mean, it's one of those, like, he could have done all of that with
absolutely
his own resources.
He could have made that work himself. I think it works.
I don't know. It's just
because he doesn't know. I mean, he knows the it's true. He doesn't know the SHU organization was involved at this point.
No, he got that after.
He finds that after the fact. So again, unless he was looking to just have the FBI on this guy's radar or on their radar, have this guy in the FBI's radar, just so that once he gets through with them, he could just have him taken down.
He would actually be arrested and he would still potentially have access to him. Maybe that was it. Because, you know, he did say no at first. And that way, if he flat out said no, he would be arrested by the FBI and then Red would still have a second shot.
Right. They could have gotten the information anyway. Yeah. And it does lead to, the conflict of our new character, Park, who is...
Can't figure it out.
Can't figure her out. We still know nothing about Anchorage other than Liz knows what happened in Anchorage, but nobody's talking about. But she's clearly conflicted about what it is they do here.
She's like, are we sure we're not being played on this? Well, yes, you are being played.
You are being played.
I love that. Like, she's kind of stating the obvious.
Well, Aram was like, man, you've been here like 7 days or whatever, or 7 weeks, and you're already
7 seconds.
Yeah, and you're already as jaded as wrestler. So, no offense. That was the only Aram line in the entire show.
That was, wasn't it?
Was right at the beginning. We'd never see Aram again. So.
He's off getting little brown chicken, brown cow elsewhere. So with his new girlfriend.
Yep. So, but it does end up leading to, I know we're all over the place. But Red finding out too, though, that Radna made two payments from this account for Constance Drucker, one to Skip Sutherland to, rat out Ilya, and the other to the Orion Relocation Services, which is where Red gets that information. He needs to know more about them. And that they are a organization that relocates underground.
Witness,
it's like
relocation for criminals.
Thank you. That's I wrote that down. Yeah, witness relocation or witness protection program for criminals. So, what do we think about that? Red's following clues as well. It just feels so frustrating though because she's right under his nose. If he just had somebody watching Liz's place.
Yeah, doing what he
would do anyway.
Done.
I know. Yeah, we're going back to that, but that's Red's doing all this investigating when she's right there, and she's got Ilya across the hall from Liz's apartment.
Yeah,
who was a really good friend to Red. I mean, this was really emphasized though in this episode with Red's interactions with Glenn. That you mean nothing to me, Glenn. This is my really
oldest,
good
dearest friend,
oldest
or whatever.
Dearest friend, and we can't So Ilya is very important to Red.
Yeah, the only people we have seen him get this upset about have been basically Liz and Dembe.
Yeah.
As far as kind of going after and rescuing and you know.
Yeah, the cliffhanger season one where we thought Dembe got shot. Is one of those moments and Dembe's his closest confidant and more than his right hand man. Yeah, absolutely. So this, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating that Red hasn't even visited the apartment and come across.
To visit his own granddaughter.
Yeah, because there was a scene in one of the teasers for the next week, you know, several weeks back, that showed Red in the apartment building and coming face to face with her. And I'm not trying to spoil it, because we know that's going to eventually happen, obviously. Yeah. We're just wondering why it hasn't happened more obvious, you know, more clearly, because Red should be watching this place. But, yeah, because it's not like she's, you know, hiding out in makeup or anything like that and looking different. I mean, she's doing her thing with just an American accent. So I don't know. But one of the other emails we got was just about, you know, the if there was going to be any December episodes. But we did find out today there is one in 2 weeks. And according to IMDb and some of the other sites, there's one the week after. So I think we have two more episodes before we come back in the spring.
Yep.
So, and that's kind of what we thought was going to happen. And the one 2 weeks from now, or 2 weeks from now, is named. The one following that is not named.
Okay. We did. I'm going to tell you right now. I think we got another email, and I don't know that I sent it to you.
Okay. What do we got?
I'm going to recognize that we got this email, Mr. Robert. I'll try not to call out your last name here. He was kind of talking about the politics of the last one. And so I'm going to recognize that we got it and we understand and we're listening. But we, as we did last week, we will typically avoid the politics. And we hear you. I hear you. Brian hasn't read it yet.
and we appreciate, yeah, we appreciate the email.
Yeah, we appreciate the email.
And the conversation is good,
I want to recognize that we did get your email and, you know, and we read it and at least I have and whatnot, but we do really, really try to avoid this politics.
Yeah, a lot of shows, not just shows on the Blacklist, but shows in general do get into political talk, and it's not that it's not important. It's just we're trying to stay in this world of the show and getting into real world, it's a topic for a different show,
right?
And that's the only reason we don't do it.
You know, the last thing Robert, you said was, you know, that you're kind of getting sick of the show because of the politics, and I think we can we mentioned that last week, we were a little unthrilled with it getting political, and then I just kind of want to drop it at that. We'll recognize it. I hear you.
We certainly disagree.
I'm not gonna say I agree or disagree with some of your comments in there. But yes, just we recognize the people that talk to us.
Yeah. We've certainly
it's like, what is in this email?
No, it's good. But now I will say we've certainly called it out before on the show, about the show, when they do kind of rip things from the headlines type things and interject these political or, you know, worldly emotional things that people get are real, you know, there's clearly two sides, and the show's going to do it. All TV does it. It just is what it is. And it's not going to please all. And that's kind of where we don't want to get into it. So
we got a long show tonight, don't we?
Yeah. Absolutely. So do you have some thoughts then moving forward? You said something about who you think about Katarina. I'd like to hear theories, because we got a 2 week break here.
Yeah. If we got, so the question is we know Red is not Ilya now. Like we've got it, because we've met the real Ilya.
That's established. Yep.
So, you know, so now who is Red? Number one. And I'm not entirely sure. But so Katarina, and there's always the Red Arena theory.
Yeah, I don't think that's gone away.
No, it hasn't gone away. And there's some valid points to it. So, but in that case, even if Red Arena is true, then who is Katarina?
Right.
Right. So that's, you know, if you want to go with that. So the question is, Katarina in the show? Who it is? And reading one of the theories, and I kind of like this one, going to the, it wasn't the Requiem one. It was the Katarina one where she was going through her history. I guess it was the one with Dom telling the history of she wound up at that church. She was abusive, the battered women and whatnot, and then there was the other woman in there who was also speaking Russian.
Yep.
I mean that's very happenstance. What if that woman is the woman we now see as Katarina?
Is this one? That would be really cool.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit since the last episode, and amongst ourselves, and And I really like that theory because it answers some of the questions why she's the way she is. And again, the Dom story is a fiction that they created.
But they're both smart enough to put as much of the truth in it as possible to make it believable.
Right. You need something. Yeah. It needs to be believable. Even if
based
it's
somewhere.
Yeah. It's got to be based on something. So a lot of lies are based on truth, I think is the line or something like that. So, that could be an interesting take on that. I know we've talked about the Red Arena thing, and I can't get behind that, but I see the evidence that everybody sees. There was that scene in that Ilya episode, or the Katerina Ilya backstory that Dominic told, where when Red confronts him about it and says that, something like you, Dominic says, because of you, I'm not able to see my daughter as I remember her, or something like that.
Yeah,
which some people took that
which
to
goes,
believe as
goes into our own rules of wordplay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wordplay. So the show's been doing that, and I hope the writers are keeping track because we're watching, and we hear when they're using the pronoun game. The pronoun game's a big thing in when you're trying to misdirect people watching television. Like you said, American television, it's usually pretty straightforward. You know, there's
a formula.
Yeah,
it's not straightforward, but you know what it is if you know what that formula is.
There are
rules.
Right, you could follow what's going on, and that's what we're trying to pick out each week is what's fitting into this formula for this character, this formula for that character, and the overall story, and everything we think we know, we still don't know, and it goes with the theory. And had moments of it again in this episode of nobody's who they seem to be. We had the undercover DEA agent, you know, in with this Jew thing. And that's just another example. They're sneaking these in every week and they're not going to leave it alone until it doesn't apply. And then that's when we get our reveal. When we think, because we've been conditioned this whole season, when we think we know, oh, this is just another person who's not who they seem, that's when they come outright and say, no, I'm actually this person, you know, or something like that. And it could be Reddington is Reddington, and the bones, who knows? So that's an example. I have no idea.
Yeah. I have, I am working on a larger theory.
Not ready for it yet though.
That I'm not ready for it, but hopefully in 2 weeks, I'm going to put this together and put it out there. I'm going to put it in front of people. And
okay.
And I'll just let you know. I think Liz is Jimmy Hoffa.
you've been working that Hoffa angle since season 2.
We have
two.
A Facebook person who's like, "Oh my God, stop!" Okay,
stop with the Hoffa. Indeed.
I have a larger theory that I think I can get some traction on.
All right, very good. Well, on that though, I mean, we're gonna have a 2 week break. Nothing next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday in America here. So, if you have any thoughts or theories though you want us to discuss, definitely send them to us by email. We appreciate the emails we got this week. It was great to see the participation that way.
Yeah, we got a lot. It was awesome.
Yeah, emails at blacklist@podcastderbia.com. You can also go ahead and get on Facebook and follow us at Podcastderbia or Twitter. We don't interact enough on there. I know that. That's our fault.
Because nobody talks to us.
Not as many people interact on there either. But I would like to see it because a lot of times those conversations do get started and they're really good until the next week's episode. I'd like to see more of that. So, and I always respond. I know you respond a lot too. So whenever anybody posts something, we always respond. So definitely get in there, Facebook or Twitter, and we'll go ahead and do that. So
Twitter.
And if you have gotten this show from Apple Podcasts, give us give us some stars and a review. We'd appreciate that. That really helps. So that is going to do it for this week's episode of The Blacklist. I am Brian. He is Dave. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Good night, everybody.